Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Football Friday on FST. Yeah, it's my real voice. I'm struggling this morning.
Holiday party season.
Yeah. I've been struggling my boys for a couple of weeks, and I think it may actually be on the outs. It's not going to be good for Sunday when I got to talk for 5 hours, but today, you got it out. It's the fourth quarter of the week, folks.
Shoot them off with some Toradol.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for listening on TuneIn Radio and iHeartRadio, and, of course, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. So, like I said yesterday morning, just start Derrick Henry in all your leagues.
Sure.
I mean, that was a no-brainer, and I hope you guys listen to me because I talked about it for like 2-3 segments yesterday.
I saw you on social media being like to all you Derrick Henry guys, like, I don't want to hear it. Yeah. I don't want to hear it. Trying to get ahead of it.
And you could take it, and you could have taken that any way you wanted.
Right.
So
right.
I just wanted to be known. Like, I don't even want to discuss how you did or you didn't start Derrick Henry.
Right. No,
I absolutely was a Derrick Henry owner earlier in the year.
Past
I'm
tense.
No longer a Derrick Henry owner. So watching that last night was like, of course.
Remember, of course. I was like, should I start Dion Lewis last night?
Yeah.
I ultimately did not, thankfully.
I did.
But okay. Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
What did he get you, like 10, 11?
We could do the math.
Derrick
right
Henry.
Now.
Derrick Henry was trying to have you get more. To be quite honest, he benevolently took himself out in position to get his fifth touchdown. If you read his lips on the sideline, he was like, "Nah, I want him to score." You know what I mean? And then, I'm sorry to jump in here, Mike, but you know,
yeah,
your
okay.
voice is hoarse and stuff like
that's
that.
Right.
But to be honest, what I thought was the, you know, obviously there's a Derrick Henry thing, right? But can we talk just for a couple seconds about how then on that goal line stand when they bring in Dion Lewis and the Jags defense like stuffs two running plays in a row, how they start like woofing and celebrating when they're down 30-9? I thought that was very
Dude, they didn't try to tackle
illustrative.
Him. On the fourth,
right.
On the fourth touchdown, they didn't try to tackle
No,
him.
Absolutely. They were making business decisions on Derrick Henry. Then when Dion Lewis is in at the goal line and they
on
stuff him.
On the 99-yarder, they didn't really try. But on the fourth touchdown, they didn't try.
You know, but my thing is more like they then stop Dion Lewis while down 30-9, and they start celebrating like it all mattered. To me, that's symptomatic of what these Jacksonville Jaguars are right now. When they're riding hot, they want to give interviews on GQ and all that stuff. But, you know, they like you said, they didn't show any heart. And they still thought it was a big thing, this stuff to what? Be down 21 instead of be down 28? To keep Dion Lewis out of the end zone when you've given up 4 rushing touchdowns already? It just was immature to me.
So he only touched the ball 9 times. I think you're right. And he only touched the ball 9 times, and he ends up with 52 yards on the evening. In a PPR league, he obviously got the 5 catches. So
10.
He helps you. but last night was about one guy and one guy only. It was 17 carries, 238, and four touchdowns, 23, 24. I mean, has anybody had a better night, a better fantasy game this year?
Absolutely. And here's the funny part.
Non-quarterback.
Non-quarterback, then I don't know.
Jared Goff had a 50-point night. Mitch Trubisky had a 6-touchdown game.
Right. So Big Ben had that huge Thursday night football game as well.
That's right.
Did Tariq Hill maybe in one of those crazy games get up over this number? I'll go back and check a little bit more.
Nobody's had four touchdowns. That's a skill player outside of quarterback. So,
but this guy also doesn't have – maybe in PPR formats it's possible. Like the day Michael Thomas had like 19 catches, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, we'll check that during the break.
I'll check it. Yeah, go ahead.
I meant to do it during the.
I'll check it. Go ahead
before the show. But the reality is, it was about one guy and one guy only. The other guy, you know, it's sort of random in a game like this. But obviously, they were trailing. It was 16-2 at halftime, and it was 30-14 at the end of the third. Nobody scored in the fourth quarter, but D.D. Westbrook actually ends up having a pretty productive night. So in deeper leagues, D.D. Westbrook has been a fringe start. So he goes 7 catches, 88 yards, and a touchdown. Randomly, Tywan Taylor catches 6 passes for 59 yards. The only league where I had him was a very deep league, and I cut him. So the only thing, as far as my leagues are concerned, is that the only positive is that I benched Corey Davis, who only ends up with 2 catches for 21 yards. I thought he was a tough start last night, the Thursday night thing and all that. It just goes to show you, though, these teams that do have 2 running backs, Dane, they do benefit greatly, especially later in the season. And whether it was a conscious decision because they thought Henry Style would attack the Jaguars better, or a conscious decision to be like, Henry's going to be the lead ball carrier tonight because Deion Lewis is getting tired later in the season. It's why he's not been effective. This is speculation, but maybe that is part of the reason why Derrick Henry got the lion's share last night. It was only 17 carries. It wasn't crazy. I mean, he had a 99-yard touchdown, so that's going to skew the numbers.
I mean, a 99-yarder, you had a 50-yarder as well, think. You know, I mean, helping the average for sure. You had a 54-yard touchdown run, the 99-yarder, of course. But, yeah, I think there's merit to that. You know, I think there's merit to that, to the idea of staying fresh, the idea of, you know, knowing it's going to be a long haul. And, listen, we say this all the time. Blewett, like there are very few workhorse backs left in the NFL, right? And I think that's part of the reason why. You make a great point. I also make an analogy to say like the Eagles defensive line, right? They have 7 or 8 guys that they want to rotate in. So I think that's an interesting point. Blewett, just going back to week 12, Christian McCaffrey in that game against Seattle went absolutely bonkers. He had 237 scrimmage yards, 2 touchdowns, but what helps him is in that game he had 11 catches as well. So he put up 47 in PPR, which is a little bit less, but that's what I've found so far. I'm going to keep checking.
Yeah, so kudos to you if you started him. Dane dropped the stat in the previous hour. He started in 17% of leagues. That sounded actually high to me.
Yeah.
Like in a 10-team league, I can't imagine.
Not in a 10-team league.
I can't imagine Derrick Henry is even owned at this point. And in 12-team leagues, picking on Scott. You know, Scott was for a while saying that Derrick Henry isn't really ownable anymore. I took issue with that only because we talk handcuffs all the time, and if Deion Lewis went down, and he's a guy with a major injury history, I thought Derrick Henry was a guy you absolutely want to own. But starting, no. I wouldn't have said it last night. I wouldn't have said it for the last month at a minimum. So kudos to you if you started him. You benefited from it.
Yeah, let me know where you are. I want to meet up with you and play Powerball.
Yeah, no kidding. So so that's the deal with that game. I don't really know what else there is to say other than the Jaguars.
Let's talk about Fournette owners, how they feel this morning waking up.
Well, the Jaguars' 6-0 win against the Colts last week is going to look like a huge anomaly because this team has completely punted. They punted last night. Yep. I wouldn't be surprised if you see several more punts down the rest of the way. In fact, Doug Marrone came out and said you know, they shut out the Colts to snap a 7-game losing streak. And then Marone says last night that he's heavily disappointed. This is our nationally televised game. Mm-hmm. This is from Tayshaun Gibson. This is our nationally televised game, man. And you know what? I think that was spoken so much this week. And for us to go out there and play like this with the world watching, I doubt people were watching past halftime, if we're being honest ourselves. To go out there and play like that is tough. So I think some of the players, some of the guys that are honest, are heavily critical of themselves.
Mm-hmm. As they should be.
Doug Marone didn't have too much to say about it, but I just wonder what this team does mm-hmm. going into next year. They were, you know, effectively inches from the Super Bowl.
Right.
They didn't get there. Now, they went back in with the quarterback that they didn't they told you via contract they didn't really love. And the team obviously has made a decision, both the players and the coach, that Blake isn't the guy anymore.
Right.
Is Cody Kessler the guy? Doubtful. Doubtful that he'll be the guy that can turn this whole thing around. But I just wonder if it even matters who the QB is because of the dynamic that exists in that locker room and with this coach. Do you change the coach?
I don't think you change the coach.
Do you get rid of some big personalities? They got rid of Dante Fowler, but Dante Fowler wasn't a significant part of this defense.
True.
Problem is, Calais Campbell is a leader on this defense, and he's getting older. He's not.
But he's at least an adult. You know what I mean? Jalen Ramsey, not so much. You know, that's what I mean. So I do think they need some of those kind of guys.
He's the most talented guy on the whole team.
I know, but you still, I think you need some adults in that room, you know, and that's why I brought it up at the top of the show, Mike, this idea that they were woofing down 30-9, you know, and they stopped Deion Lewis, that sort of thing. So they need to, get a professional game manager kind of quarterback, right? And then I just think they need, like, I can't say it any better, like, or any differently. They just need some adults in the room on both sides of the ball, I believe, and I think they'd be okay. The reason I don't think Doug Marone is in any danger is because I believe, you know, when the 49ers hired Shanahan and Lynch together, you know what I mean? They were aligned and all that stuff. We've seen so many times where the GM and the head coach is not aligned and the problems that cause. I believe that Tom Coughlin and Doug Marone are cut for similar cloths. I believe they want to approach it the same way. So I don't think there's going to be a coaching change. I do think there's going to be maybe a player culture change, and that's having a game manager at quarterback. I keep on thinking it's going to be Joe Flacco, and then some adults in the room to try to, you know, bring their lunch pail to work, and that will fit the mold more of a Tom Coughlin, Doug Marone team than these guys woofing down 30-9.
So, Dane, honestly, we've both been talking about Joe Flacco potentially going to Jacksonville since August.
Yeah.
Like, you've been on it recently, but we talked about this a lot.
I mentioned Tyrod in the same vein, who, by the way, turns the ball over, or going into the season, had the lowest interception rate in the NFL all time.
I understand Joe Flacco is a beggars can't be choosers kind of situation potentially for him, but if you're him, do you want to go there?
Is that the locker room
you want to walk into?
It depends on my options, obviously, right? But, yeah, I'm okay with that because I think that I could be that exact piece. This is a team that went to the AFC Championship game last year, right? And this is a team that we know has the potential that you've been, if you're Joe Flacco, you've been the Ravens quarterback for the last decade and a half. And the Ravens want to win with defense and running the ball and stuff. So I think it is a good model for you, especially as you enter the golden years of your career. Yeah, I do think it's a good fit. And you know, he could kind of be a leader and a game manager there.
Yeah, so to go back to what you said earlier, Leonard Fournette owners obviously can't be happy. He had the 14 carries for 36 yards. He caught two passes for 5 yards, so 41 total yards. I mean, and two catches. Mm-hmm. And it's a complete dud by Leonard Fournette at a time where you really needed him. It's playoff time, so you either had a bye this week, which would make you lucky, but Fournette has been a real – I mean, he had a great game in Week 12 before he got kicked out, but to lose him in Week 13 and now a fantasy no-show in Week 14, he's been a really tough first round pick.
That's true. For all year long, you know, he was either out injured or was like coming back, but on a pitch count. So you didn't know. Good thing we avoided him in the first round, although now we might be in it with Melvin Gordon as well. But the one other thing I want to say about Jacksonville, and I want to, you know, I have these narratives all the time, Blewett, and sometimes you're like, oh, that's a good point. And sometimes you're like, that's crazy, Dane. I've heard people I respect talk about, what's that?
It's usually your crazy day.
All right, fine. And maybe this one will be another. But I've heard people I respect talk about, like, when teams are kind of on the rise, that there's like a three-year kind of phase, okay? In year one, when you're a bad team kind of coming up out of nowhere, you likely also have a third or fourth place schedule, which artificially may help you in that year. Then you pop off like Jacksonville did. They win a division, and then they have a first place schedule, right? Which may kind of help them come back to earth a little bit. Now, I know teams are different every year, but here's the other thing now. The Jags at 4-9 in this AFC South with a team that I believe is not that far off for, you know, having a game manager and a professionalism among them. Blewett, they're going to have a last place schedule next year. And, you know, that means getting to play the Raiders and the Jets instead of the Patriots, you know. And that means getting to play, you know, maybe the Bengals instead of the Steelers next year. And I think that could help them look at their record be, you know, maybe two games better than it would be otherwise. So that's another reason, in my opinion, it could be attractive to a guy like Joe Flacco. You buy it?
No, because for this reason. Back in the day, I'm trying to think when they changed it. I think they changed it about 10 years ago. But back in the day, that theory made sense. Now, there's only two games that are a variable schedule.
That's true. It's the last place team against the other divisions in your conference. That's not the division you play the whole time.
Yeah,
right?
Like next year, the Jaguars are going to play their six games against the AFC South. They'll play
four against another division.
Four against an NFC division.
Right.
That's correct. So those are just scheduled.
But you don't think playing the Jets versus playing the Patriots, and I don't know which other division they play, but let's say playing the Raiders instead of the Chiefs next year?
It's helpful for two games because right now, would you guess that the Bengals or the Browns are going to finish with less wins?
Cincy. Browns at least have their starting quarterback still.
So you got Cincy, the Jets, and the Raiders. Certainly
helpful. Instead of the Patriots, Steelers, and Chiefs. Right. You know, but really only two of those. We don't know which two unless we analyze this year's schedule to know what division they play. But so, that's a two-game difference.
I can't say that there's no impact, but it doesn't have as great an impact as it did years ago. But
fair.
Certainly, we're talking right now.
I'd rather play the Jets. I'd rather play the Jets and Raiders, though, than the Pats and the Chiefs next year. I'll tell you that
Now. Give me the Raiders.
You know, and if you're a team that might be around 500, and that's a difference of 7-9 to 9-7 in this AFC South that we've been talking about. It's so close for the last few years. It could be something.
Give me the Raiders all day.
Sure.
Next year, the year after.
Sure.
I'm not a buyer. I'm not a buyer short term. I wasn't. I'm not a buyer long term. I think there's miles to, I say this a lot, miles to go before we sleep, before the Raiders get any good. And I don't know that we're going to see that under John Gruden's watch. Let's just say that I personally think that 10 years was a little bit too long.
How about that?
Tenure. Yeah. So,
how about that?
The Jaguars are just, they have the look of that team that just doesn't know where they're going right now. And they seem like they felt like they would be gifted the AFC Championship game again, and they forgot to go out there and execute and play good football because I would say amongst the entire league, the Jaguars are the most disappointing team this year. Atlanta, you can make that you can make that argument.
Green Bay,
but, I'd say these are the teams that are in the mix. I think that's fair. People had green designs for Green Bay. Look, I'll tell you, I had Atlanta winning the Super Bowl.
Right, you did.
Clearly, I'm disappointed, but I get it. They lost their top three defenders in the first 2 weeks of the year. They got one back, but they couldn't survive it. The Jaguars haven't had that issue. They had some injuries, but it's not Washington. It's not the Niners.
Right.
And they forgot to execute. So we'll come back. We'll talk about NFL news and notes on a Football Friday on FNTSY.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Good job, back to Pomona. Put back a little motivational 80s movie music right here. I can't remember where this is from. Oh, yeah, yeah. But it feels like this would be an overlay to like a montage. It's not Hearts on Fire from Rocky, but this Van Halen jam is like the type that would have been worked well in an 80s overlay for a musical montage, like when somebody's, you know, maybe training to beat up a bully in an 80s movie. You know what
so,
I mean?
So, Mike, you want a little history lesson about this song?
I do.
It is dedicated to the Blue Angels of the Air Force.
All right. Well, you're trying to make me feel bad?
Like, No. I'm not making you feel bad at all. It is exactly what it is. It's 80s montage music. There's a music video dedicated to the Blue Angels to this song.
Shout out to Alex and Eddie Van Halen, man. They're dedicating this song to the Blue Angels, who I've seen live and in person. It's very impressive. So,
way to clean that up, Mike.
What's up?
Way to clean that up.
Yeah,
I
had to put a bow on it because I
like
screwed
that
up. I felt like it disrespected the Blue Angels there. But in any event, the DailyRoto.com NBA lineup optimizer is now available. That means you can use the same tools and projections that DailyRoto.com NFL premium subscribers are using to win each week for NBA DFS contests. So DailyRoto.com has produced 7 separate FanDuel and DraftKings million-dollar tournament winners and millions more in cumulative prizes. So if you're playing DFS and you aren't using the Daily Roto tools, then what are you doing? Come on. Projections and optimizers are knocking it out of the park. You're doing it wrong. Competitive disadvantage. I say it here every day that I'm on. You got to go to DailyRoto.com and click on Go Premium. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount. And start winning today. That's DailyRoto.com. Click on Go Premium. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount. And start winning today. So, Dane, big news. Kelvin Benjamin got signed by the Chiefs. I don't get it.
Listen, I say a lot of times, and I think we know the axiom kind of, what's good for the NFL team is usually not necessarily good for the fantasy team, and vice versa, right? I think Kelvin Benjamin should not be picked up, should not be started. Now watch him score 4 touchdowns like Derrick Henry, but I don't think he belongs in starting lineups in the playoffs. However, I do think he can fill a very interesting role for the Kansas City Chiefs in the red zone. I mean, the guy is 6'4", 6'5", remember that. And so I think he offers that kind of big-bodied red zone target that, to be quite honest, the Chiefs don't really have much of, okay? Tyreek Hill is a wee man, you know? Sammy Watkins is a different kind of receiver. Kelce, even as a tight end, is your kind of athletic kind of tight end. They had, as you mentioned, you know, over the break, Chris Conley, but it doesn't seem like they believe in Chris Conley. And Kelvin Benjamin, all he needs to do is be that threat. He may only get 2 targets, but they may be 2, you know, back shoulder fades or 2 high points at the pylon that actually create something that the Kansas City Chiefs don't have. I actually think, ironically, he fills a role.
He signed the 1-year deal. Do you think he's on the Chiefs September 2019?
No, not necessarily. Maybe. I think it depends on if they like him in this role in the next 4+ games, because the Chiefs are going to be playing more than 4 games left. But, like, you know, I mean, I think it's how he does in this role. But it's a very interesting, like, audition. And it's ironic that these guys, you know, they get cut and then, you know, they find greener pastures.
Yeah. That's the other big piece of news. We'll do some injury stuff right now, but okay. Clearly, I think everybody's heard by now that Alex Smith is suffering with infections, and is going to need additional surgeries. And this is now considered to be a career-threatening injury. I thought when it happened, it was career-threatening, but now we're getting some clarity on the fact that this could be a career-threatening injury. It's weird because the quarterback from University of Central Florida suffered a devastating injury as well, and I was actually with somebody this week. The College Football Hall of Fame festivities were this week in New York. So,
you mentioned that. You saw Cam's little brother?
That's right. So, but I know some people from UCF and was talking to them, and they're saying that, I mean, the thought process is that this isn't going to be an easy fix, right? Like, similar to Alex Smith's touchdown. They're not saying anything in terms of it being career-threatening, but there were surgeries. It is known that there were surgeries to restore blood flow to his leg. It's not dissimilar to what happened to Zach Miller of the Bears last year, I believe it was. And I don't think you can, with an injury of this nature, like Mackenzie Milton's and Alex Smith's, I don't think you can ever count on the guy coming back to being 100%. I think 100% is a pipe dream, and I think coming back at all would be a huge victory. I think that it puts Washington in an extremely tough position because they gave him a very lucrative long-term deal, and Colt McCoy isn't the guy that they're going to have shepherd the franchise if that's the case. They'll take you.
Andy Dalton, starting quarterback for the Washington football team, 2019.
You know, Jay Gruden was there.
That's right.
With Andy Dalton, so it's actually not a bad choice. The problem the problem for them, they might almost have to go with a young player and draft because
financially.
Financially, they'll have. I mean, Andy Dalton, if he got caught by the Bengals, would demand a solid contract. Like, if you throw Andy Dalton into that mix that we've talked about for a while with Teddy Bridgewater and Joe Flacco and Tyrod Taylor, where would you rank Andy Dalton there?
Ahead of all of them. I mean, Joe Flacco is older. Tyrod, you know, hasn't done it at that level. I personally like him, but Andy Dalton does have a stronger resume. So, yeah, he would maybe be the in the catbird seat, maybe have the most offers, you know, that sort of thing. That's possible. But it's also about, like, the timing of some of these things, too. You know, like, maybe some of these guys get signed before the Bengals maybe cut him, something like that. I'm not sure, but you're right. He would be the top of the food chain there.
So then we're talking about a nine-figure deal, and they'd be carrying two nine-figure deals at the quarterback position. I just don't think
Dan Snyder likes to spend money.
Yeah, I just wonder if it could even work. We have not yet really seen something like that. I can't remember a situation where that happened. The Cardinals actually spent a decent amount of money this year at the quarterback position.
That's true.
It seems ironic because they're playing Josh Rosen now, but they plunked down like nearly money $20 million for Sam Bradford, and then Mike Glennon was not an inexpensive backup, but nonetheless,
the Eagles signed like Chase Daniels to a real contract once to be a backup in Philly. But listen, with Alex Smith also, I mean, isn't he like 34 years old, Mike?
That sounds right. He and
34, 35, something like
age,
that. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, like, you know, it's going to be a long road back. Alex Smith also did, you know, was one of those under the radar, sneaky mobile guys with rushing yards and stuff. So, I mean, unfortunately, I think the safe bet is that we've seen Alex Smith play his last football.
He'll be 35 by the time the next NFL season turns around. Rolls around. He turns 35 in May. So
Put Washington in the mix for a team.
It's sad. You know, I think it's a huge bummer. I mean, regardless of what people thought of Alex Smith, I always defended him. I just thought he was a better quarterback than people gave him credit for.
I agree with you completely.
Not a lot of fantasy goodness coming out of Alex Smith any year except last year, but I always thought he was a pretty solid quarterback, underrated in his athleticism, and a good decision maker. I get why Washington went that route. You know, I don't think you can say that they made a mistake in what they did based on the way Kirk Cousins and the Vikings have looked. I didn't think they handled the Kirk Cousins thing particularly well. And, you know, this is just really unfortunate. So,
listen, I hear you. Alex Smith, there were times, I don't know if this stat still holds true, but like a year or two ago, there was something like Alex Smith had more wins than anybody except like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, you know, over his career. Like he consistently, with the 49ers and then with the Chiefs, were getting teams into the playoffs. It was Alex Smith kind of, to be quite honest, I think, more than anybody else who like turned the term game manager into a kind of dirty word, you know, because everybody was like, oh, he's just a game manager. And that was disrespectful to what Alex Smith actually was. I call him, like, I don't know if you play golf, Blewett, at all, but I always called him, he was like a golfer who would always, like, get on the green but never be closest to the pin. You know what I mean? He'd get you there, but then wouldn't get you over the top. And unfortunately, I think Andy Reid made that exact calculation after they could not beat your Pittsburgh Steelers, I think, in like an 18-15 kind of game or something like that. And they were like, we need to do more. We need to be more dynamic. We need a higher ceiling. Enter Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and clearly they made the right choice. So sure. So that's the deal on Alex Smith. I think it's a devastating franchise injury. Mitch Trubisky looks poised to make his return Sunday against the Los Angeles Rams. Second-year QB missed the last two games, but he's back in the mix. So you like the Bears to bounce back in a big way here, Dane?
No, I do not. And when we make our picks for this week, I will reinforce that with my pick. No, I because honestly, the Giants looked too good against them last week. And I don't know that Trubisky is 100%. And don't look now, but they have the Los Angeles Rams coming to town with Aqib Talib coming back too. So I'm a little bit worried about my man Allen Robinson, who's an option for me to flex.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say is that we've talked a lot about how we talked the other day, I did at least, about how people are gifting teams wins, trying to get them to 15-1 and 14-2. I mean, the Rams going into Chicago is no easy feat. I thought they didn't play well against the Giants, but it, to me, it isn't indicative of them as a team. I do think that they could conceivably bounce back here and give the Rams a tight game. You know, as far as fantasy is concerned, obviously you're playing Goff and Gurley. Trubisky, you know, he has been a start. He's been a QB1, really, this year.
At one point, he was overall QB7. He got as high as overall QB7 at one point.
Basically, since late September, early October, when he wasn't really good in September, but once they got a handle on this offense, he's been great.
Once he threw six touchdowns in a game, he's been awesome. Yeah.
You know, Tariq Cohen's coming off a career game. He had career high in receptions and receiving yards and scrimmage yards, 12 for 156, 186 total, and he threw a touchdown pass. So I started him in one league, didn't start him in the other, for the record. But I think this is a game where, as good as the Bears' defense is, Dane, I tend to think that this game will push into a little bit of a shootout. It's why I would pick the Rams. But I give the Bears a shot. Like the Rams' offensive line is good enough to withstand some of what the Bears do. Yes. I just think when you talk about a lot of times you say style makes fight, and I often look to see what the game pace is going to be. I would actually expect points here and not the two defenses limiting the offense.
Over-under on this game is 51.5, blew it in that style makes fight vein. You're taking the over, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's interesting.
Might be a tease as to what I'm doing in the next
I like that. Tease them, Blewett. Tease them. I like that.
But I do think points will be scored here. I don't think this will be the defenses winning out. And it could be look what happened with the Chiefs and Rams. I know it's a little bit different because they're the two most explosive offenses in the league, but you were joking all week as to whether or not we'd see any punts in that game, and we saw a whole bunch.
Seven. Yeah, we saw seven.
But we still saw 96 points scored.
And the Rams' defense scored 20 points, though, in fantasy in that game, even though 105 points were scored or whatever.
That's exactly right. So I do think you could see that, like Eddie Jackson could get another touchdown for the Bears, and maybe Aqib Talib takes one
pick
to the
six.
House. But, but I don't, in that sense, yes, the defenses can score, Dane, but I don't think that it means that the offenses will be limited.
I agree with you. Right now, this is a matchup of the 2 and the 3 seed in the NFC. Blew it. So this could be the first of two matchups. Let's just say that. I'm going to ask a question that your initial knee-jerk reaction is going to be, no, Dane, that's crazy. Let's not get into that. Okay. But my question for you, Blew it, is, you think Ndamukong Suh has a bounty on Trubisky's head?
No.
Oh, but you have to pause on it. Because Ndamukong Suh is one of those kinds of guys. They're going to see each other again. I know Greg Williams isn't there, but you think they could be putting a little bit of extra body weight on the shoulder a la Clay Matthews?
I think given Ndamukong Suh's career, you can't rule it out. But
right.
I'll try to give him a pass that maybe he's on a team which is really well run. By the way, to those people that didn't see this, what I'm about to say, go look for it. Sean McVay was asked a question about the Bears' defense the other day, and in about 66 seconds, he rattled off the top of his head every single starter on the defense and the things that they do well. It was indicative.
Like, Danny Trevathan, he's great. Going sideline to sideline, whatever it is, yeah.
Yes, yeah. He said awesome. Trevathan, he went down the line, player by player. And the reason that it went viral a little bit is because a couple of years ago, Jeff Fisher was asked about the Patriots going into a game, and he commented on Danny Woodhead. The problem with that was that Danny Woodhead was on the Ravens.
Oh, the Ravens.
Yeah. So he didn't realize that Danny Woodhead wasn't on the Ravens. So I think
the evolution of the Rams' brain trust, huh?
Yeah, I think it was a sign that Jeff Fisher was maybe a bit checked out. But
I told you, August 8th is Jeff Fisher Day, 8-8.
But McVay, and I tweeted about this the other day, McVay continues to impress. He has his capacity for information, if you've ever seen him speak, is astounding. I am somebody, personally, and I'm not patting myself on the back, I've always banked on the fact that I have a pretty good memory, but to do what he did was extremely impressive. And if there was a Real Sports interview on HBO with Brian Gumbel over the summer. I apologize. Mm-hmm. My voice is just...
Sweat it, brother, man. It's holiday party season. Yeah, you're up here at 8 o'clock in the morning letting people know what they need to win their leagues and win their cash. Blewett is playing hurt, and I personally respect them for it.
So there was a interview earlier in August with Brian Gumbel, and he asked him, and apparently Brian Gumbel knew that this was a thing. So he asked him specifically about plays that occurred last season. And
just random plays?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Because he has this talent.
Right.
He remembered specifically the down and the distance and the result of the plays that Brian Gumbel asked him about. He's like, hey, what happened week five against the Giants? He's like, well, what play did you call? He's like, well, we got stuffed on first down running a play action. So next one we ran off left tackle to Gurley, and he popped it for an 80-yard touchdown. So he can remember. They ran over 1,000 offensive plays last year. I've watched him with Brian Gumbel, and I do not think it was a setup, recall specific plays. So I do think he has.
He's a savant.
Yeah, that's right. He has a savant-like ability for football and the information. So I wasn't – it's just another example of how nobody knows who these guys are. I'm just telling you, fans, analysts, and whatever, you don't really know who the guys are. But if you interviewed Sean McVay, I can't imagine that anybody else would impress you to that nature. You know, I was talking.
Like, how did he interview for a job and not get it? Yeah, ever in his career.
He remembers 1,000 plays off the top of his head. So I do think he's really impressive. As far as other injuries, just to wrap it up here, we'll do the other injuries on the other side of the break, and we'll do our picks in the final segment of FST on a Football Friday. Woo!
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back to FST right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network as we slide into Week 14. You guys are in win or go home scenario, so Mike Blewett and Dane Martinez taking you through to help you win your leagues and win that cat before we pass it over to the morning after with Gabe Morris and the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson and the lovely Michelle Serpico. But before we get into that, Blewett, I got to let people know that even if you didn't reach your fantasy football playoffs, with BetDSI, you can capitalize on all the on-field action with a user-friendly mobile site, web interface, and the fastest payouts in the industry. From the upcoming college football bowl games to the next big soccer match, they have wagering options for almost any sport you can think of. You can even wager on esports, politics, and reality TV. I'll tell you who's going to win Survivor right now. I think it's this
who's
dude,
gonna
Nick.
Who's going to win, Dane?
It's this dude, Nick. I'm telling you, he's got an idol. He's laying low. I like it. Get the odds on him.
How many
get
people
an edge.
Are left?
There are 7 people left, my friend.
How many does it start with?
It starts with 18 or 20, I believe. So we're getting down to it. My guy has an immunity idol that nobody knows about, but I digress. You could bet. Listen, you could also get an edge anytime during the contest, live in-game betting, capitalizing on in-game circumstances. Like you know, everybody makes a run in the NBA. Utilize your DFS skills without the constraints of salary caps. Wager on player props, like will Derrick Henry score a touchdown last night? There are so many ways to make money. Use the promo code FNTSY101 when signing up. You get 100% deposit bonus match. And then, once you've opened your account, go to dailyroto.com. Click on Contact Us. Send us the BetDSI username. We'll give you a free month of Daily Roto access totally free. We already tell you, if you're not using them, you are doing it wrong. Head on over to BetDSI. Use the promo code FNTSY101 to get your 100% bonus deposit match and 1 month free of DailyRoto.com. Now, Blewett, in the last hour, we had
information, by the way. Greg Sussman text. Greg Sussman.
Yeah.
Director of content and host.
Ooh, Mr. Sussman to you.
Texted me. Next year, the extra 2 games the Jags have are against the last place teams in the East, which would be the Jets right now.
Yep.
And the last place team in the North, which it's technically North. Right now is the Browns, but we expect
I think it'll be the Bengals.
Could be the Bengals.
Right. So Jets as opposed division. To the Patriots, and yeah. I think Bengals as opposed to the Steelers, you know, those are 2 games that are a big difference. If you go 2-0 instead of 0-2, that could be a playoff or a division, especially in that AFC South.
Yeah, and everyone in that division plays the AFC West next year. Not sure who they play in the NFC side, but they'll play the AFC West.
But, you know, so there you go. That last place schedule. That last place schedule could be interesting for the Jaguars. What I was going to say, Mike, is last hour we had Dr. A from Inside.
You're a Jets fan. You're depressing. You're depressing me already for the 2019.
No. Whoa. I'm not. I think the arrow is pointed up. I believe in Darnold. All I'm saying is that if I was, you know, one of the other 30 teams in the NFL, I'd rather play the Jets than the Patriots. That's all I'm saying, speaking. But like I said, man, we had Dr. A on from Inside Injuries, and we were asking him about all sorts of guys. We asked him about Trubisky. We asked him about the high ankle sprain for James Conner. He was not excited. About that, or the shoulder injury for Cam. He's really concerned about the shoulder injury for Cam, thinking that this could deteriorate.
Yeah, so he's dealing with an injured right shoulder, officially limited in practice. That would be a problem. I mean, that's obviously that's their season.
Yeah,
if Cam's not 100%.
Yeah, he couldn't throw the Hail Mary last week, Blewett.
That's right. Heineke came in.
Yeah.
So I think,
and we killed Andrew Luck in like week 2 or whatever it was with the same exact thing.
Well, Jacoby Brissett came in. Yeah. So whatever it was the right coaching decision, even though they didn't complete it. So that is a big problem. The Connor long term news, not good. I've said it many times. My entire season is based on the success of James Connor. Right. Other guys. Safety Landon Collins from the Giants was placed on IR, so ending his year as he enters free agency this offseason. So I don't think the Giants let him walk out the building. He's not the type of guy that you let go. He's been certainly the best young player on that defense for the last.
If they were going to, they would have traded him this year.
Yeah, agreed. And I don't think they have any interest in that. So we talked about Alex Smith. Darnold's set to return to the starting lineup this week. So, for those in 2 QB leagues, if you're desperate.
And I told you that could be a small boost to Inunua as well.
That's right. Melvin Gordon's still not practicing, so he ain't playing this week.
What do you think about this Eckler-Jackson split? A lot of people think Jackson is going to be this dog. And I'm like, don't forget about Austin Eckler.
I think if I had a choice, I would play Eckler. But I think Jackson has shown himself to be an asset.
Okay.
You know, we're basing this on this set was effectively the second half of one game. So
right.
I don't want to go crazy, but he looked great. The Steelers did look terrible, but he looked great in that second half against the Steelers. I think both need to be on rosters. I picked up Justin Jackson in one league, but I don't see a way for me to start him this week on that particular team. Hopefully you're good enough that Justin Jackson will only become a startable asset for you as we get deeper into it. You know, we're in the playoffs now, so
right. You don't want to get too cute.
hopefully your teams are good enough that you don't need to do that. But if you're a James Conner owner and the only other guy is Justin Jackson, I think you're throwing him out there and let the chips fall where they may. Michael Thomas, thankfully, was a full participant in practice after sitting out Wednesday. Dane and I own Michael Thomas in a league, and we have a bye.
Where so we had Manny Sanders, too.
I wouldn't care if he rested this week or not, but many of you out there need him. Brady and Gronk, full practice. Xavier Howard did not practice for the second straight day, so that actually could be an impact for the Miami Dolphins. Xavier Howard's numbers this year have been excellent, as good as any cornerbacks in the league. So going up against Josh Gordon or Julian Edelman, probably not Edelman, but
probably
going
Gordon.
Up against Josh Gordon or whomever else, I think you have to like Josh Gordon better in this scenario.
I agree.
For obvious reasons. The best. He's the best player on the Miami defense, and he's really limited a lot of guys this year. There was a stat yesterday, which I can't recall at the moment, but I wish I was Sean McVay and I could recall the stat that I read. But he's he's really limited opposing wide receivers this year. I don't think anybody's had like more than three catches
this
whole year. So Cole Beasley back in the mix, Josh Adams back in the mix. Beyond that, the Colts have a whole bunch of injuries, so on and on and on. I don't think I missed any major ones. Even Sammy Watkins was back in practice, as were, well, the one other guy, Matt Breida, did not practice yesterday. So we'll
They ruled him out earlier
it.
In the week.
There's plenty of guys that are resting this time of year, like Julio Jones has rested a couple of practices already this week, but he's fully expected to play. I just think they're managing snaps this year. So, Dane, we don't have a lot of time. Let's do our picks.
Yeah, sure. Interesting you mentioned the Xavier Howard. I first want to recap. Mike, you had a bad week last week, brother. You went 0-3 last week.
What?
George Kurtz also went 0-3 last week. I, however, went 2-1 last week. I now have a three-game cushion on you, Blewett. Okay?
Oh, so I'm not going to pick any of the games that you pick.
All right, fair enough. I like that you need to be live and not put a checker on a checker, shall we say. For my first pick, you know, Blewett, you know how much I love the Chargers this year. I've been all over the Chargers this year since the very beginning. However, 14.5 is a lot of points, Blewett. And for some reason, I just feel like I think they're going to win the game. But I think Cincy may keep it closer than you think, even with Jeff Driscoll, even without A.J. Green. For some reason, I feel like the Chargers play to the level of their competition a little bit. And don't look now. This is week 14. In week 15, they have a huge Thursday night matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. This smells a little bit like a trap game to me. I think the Chargers will win outright. But because I get the hook, I believe, at 14.5, I'm going to take Jeff Driscoll and the Cincinnati Bengals plus two touchdowns.
That's an unbelievable wager.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Remember, I am three games up on you in the season standings. So it's okay. And you don't have to pick him, you know. Okay, well,
I'm not going to. I believe
I think, listen, I think the back door could be open, and I think they sort of play to the level of their competition at times, and I'll just take 14.5 points in the NFL.
Speaking of teams that play to the level of their competition, the Pittsburgh Steelers are laying 9.5 to the Oakland Raiders, and I will be taking them. The Steelers do play down to their competition, and they're not as sharp on the road. So given those two factors, you would say, all right, Blewett, let's get some points with the Raiders. The fact that they're coming off a two-game losing streak and they're going up against a 2-10 team, I think the Steelers right the ship this week as they head into an extremely difficult portion of their schedule, playing the Patriots and Saints. I think they know they need this one badly, and I think coming off a two-game losing streak and nearly, I mean, inches away from it being a three-game losing streak, I think Tomlin put everything in perspective for them this week. They're going to lose the division. If they lose this week, they will.
Right. They have a game.
The Ravens can
go. And their schedule's much tougher.
Much tougher.
Right. They got New England, New Orleans still.
The Ravens could conceivably go 3-1. Their schedule isn't easy, but they could go 3-1. If the Steelers go 2-2, we got problems.
Yep.
So I do think the Steelers are going to blow them out this week. So go ahead. Good. Give me your second pick.
Fair enough. My second pick, you know, you said the Ravens could go 3-1. That one is this week in Arrowhead, in my opinion. Listen, you mentioned the style makes fight thing, right? So I'm very intrigued in this Chiefs-Ravens matchup. You know Lamar Jackson, Gus Edwards. They're going to try and run the ball, play defense. And Blewett, I think it's going to work for 2.5 quarters. And then I think there's going to be one point late in the third quarter, early fourth, where the Chiefs score two touchdowns in back-to-back possessions and get a working margin. Give me the Chiefs minus the 7 at home against the Ravens.
Okay, we don't have much time.
Go ahead.
New England doesn't play well in Miami. I'm throwing that out. I think New England takes care of business. I still think on some level we're getting New England at a discount. I don't like the 7.5. I could see it being a 7-point game, but I'll take the Pats on the road. I got two road teams that I'm going against big home underdogs in both of those games.
You know, and I love those home dogs.
Do your third one.
Right? I already did it real quick, just so you know. I remember I said I like the Rams in Chicago minus the 3.5. Scotty Engel is against you. He likes Miami plus 8. You got a third one real quick to throw out? Scotty's on the Bucks. Saints over 55.
Yeah, you like the Ravens, don't you?
No, I like the Chiefs. I'm on the Chiefs.
All right. Well, what do you want me to do?
I want you to email me your pick.
All right.
Later on.
Talk to you later, folks.
Have a good weekend, guys.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.